I live in Israel. This season is dedicated to the memory of the 1,400 of my countrymen who were massacred on October 7th and the 240 people that were kidnapped and are being held hostage by the terrorist organization Hamas. Hopefully they will be returned to their families as soon as possible, and hopefully this terrible war will be able to come to a peaceful end very soon. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 78 of Season 6 of Mover, a Minute, the daily podcast where we take a Capra-esque journey through the 1946 classic, It's a Wonderful Life, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubba Wheat from Fight Club Minute. Welcome back, Bubba.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. That is true. It's almost the end of February. Wow. We're getting close. We're getting close. See, today is theoretically the last day of February, but there's still, you know, this year it's a leap year, so there's one more coming tomorrow. So minute 78 begins with a shot of the newspaper article and ends with George continuing to talk to Harry. So yesterday we ended things with George being very proud of his brother and showing the newspaper to Ernie. As to, you know, the fact that Harry is coming back a war hero who has just won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And, you know, we once again get to continue to see the headline itself. And then Ernie looks at it and says, it's going to snow again. And George looks at him and goes, what do you mean it's going to snow? Look at the headline. The president, I know, George, that's marvelous. You know, and
I love Eddie just giving George a hard time about it.
That's right. Exactly. And as they're talking, we can see in the background Mr. Gower, you know, comes towards them. You know, we haven't seen Mr. Gower in quite a while, but you know, he looks like he's in even better shape now than he was the last time we saw him. The last time we saw him was when, you know, George had just gotten the briefcase from him, you know, so he was in better shape at that point, you know, from when, you know, in 1919 after his son died. So here we're talking, it's been 26 years since his son died, 26 years since his son died, but he looks, you know, his suit looks nice and tidy and, you know, but it, what's funny is that, you know, George is wearing a coat because of all the snow on the ground. It must be cold. But Mr. Gower just walks out with a suit jacket. You know, so I guess for him, it's just coming out just for a few seconds. And then he goes, Commander Harry Bailey. And George looks over at him and goes, oh, Mr. Gower, look at this, the second page. Now, look, this is for you. This is for you. That's for you. He starts handing out the newspapers to everybody. You know, as they're walking by, and
yeah, so, you can see that he's got a big stack of papers.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's got giving them to everybody.
That's right. Well, it's only 5 cents a paper, so you know, I guess he's able to do it because of that. You know, that's not a problem. And we can also see that George has like a wreath on his arm. Which is, it's funny that he's like carrying it like a, you know, like you would catch a ring or something like that on your arm. So I like that little added touch there showing that. And then, Ernie says back to him, right, thanks. And goes, see you again. And then he starts walking away. And as he's walking away, we see him walk past, I guess, you could say it's the town hall. He walks away, and then we see a shot of Uncle Billy. Sorry. So George.
Yeah, I actually made that mistake too, because the way that it's cut, it makes you think that it's George walking past.
That's right.
but it actually switches to Billy.
Yes.
And I didn't, I think I watched this a couple times and didn't even realize it until now, because later on, whenever he turns, you can clearly see that it's Billy and
not
George.
Is definitely,
and
this is definitely
it doesn't have the wreath. Yeah.
Correct. And, you know, I mean, we see in the distance there's a podium and there's a big sign that says, "Welcome home, Harry Bailey." And above that, there's a picture. I mean, that's a huge picture. That's like a picture that's the size of like an entire story of the building. You know, they really went all out to create a picture for this, I guess, this reception that they're going to be having. You know, and, you know, then there's a, you know, then we hear Uncle Billy say, "Be sure to spell the name right." Which is pretty funny. I mean, I like the fact that they, you know, they sort of trick us and superimpose Uncle Billy here, as, you know, since we thought that it was, that it theoretically, you know, should be George, you know, based on the continuity of the way things are. And then Uncle Billy salutes to someone that drives by in a Jeep, you know, and starts chuckling to himself. So I don't know if he really is, you know, a soldier that he's saluting to or not. And then in the background, we see a building which says on it, "Telephone Exchange." So I guess that's, you know, that's the phone company. And then Uncle Billy starts humming as he continues to walk. You know, he's in a very good mood.
And he's also right in front of the... He's also right in front of the sign that says, "You are now in Bedford Falls."
That's
so
correct.
I'm guessing that this is right by the city limits.
That makes sense and doesn't make sense at the same time. It makes sense that that's what it should be, but this looks like the main avenue, like the
downtown area.
Yeah, exactly. You know, maybe downtown Bedford Falls is so close to a different town that, you know, the marker goes down the line between the two. So it's an interesting place to have that sign. You know, if it were to just say, you know, okay, you know, Bedford Falls, all right, fine. But the fact that this is, you are now in Bedford Falls, I think they wanted just to remind us that we're in Bedford Falls. I think that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And then the shot changes and we see George enter the building alone, and, you know, he walks in wreath first, even though we see that there already is a wreath hanging. Maybe he's taking it, maybe it's to bring home. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, there's the wreath hanging on all three outdoor windows that he walks past.
Yeah. And obviously he's got a huge stack of newspapers. Now, do you think he has the same number of newspapers in his hand that he did before?
I feel like this looks like more than what he had by a little bit.
Yeah. What I counted was is that he had 7 newspapers in his hand beforehand. And now as he's walking in, that stack looks larger than 7. You know, it's hard to say exactly how many there are, even when you put it in freeze frame. Maybe my guess would be there's at least 10 there. It's possible that he picked up a few along the way, because it's not as if the camera followed him the whole way through. You know, we do know that yeah. You know, we saw Uncle Billy a little bit, so it's very possible that George, you know, had time to stop and get more newspapers on the way. And, you know, as he walks in, he goes, "Extra, read all about it." And then Eustace says, George, it's Harry, now on long distance from Washington." He goes, "Harry, what do you know about that? He reversed the charges. It's okay, isn't it? Reverse the charges? Of course it is for a hero." He takes the phone and goes, "Harry, you old 7 times of a gun? Congratulations. How's mother standing it?" "She did. What do you know? Mother had lunch with the president's wife. Wait till Martha hears about this." "What did they have to eat?" "What did they have to eat?" "Harry." So, I mean, the conversation between Eustace, Tilly, and George is pretty funny, the way that it moves along here. You know, because we see Tilly is basically listening in on the conversation also. Because I guess she is the secretary, but she's, watching the whole thing. Now, they mentioned here the idea of a collect call, right? Do you know what the official term of a collect call is?
I do not, and I did think that it was interesting that it was like I the fact that they refer to it as reverse the charges, where these days, well, I mean these days you don't even really think about collect call at all, because with cell phones you basically long distance cost it doesn't cost any more than anything else. So it's not like you have the long distance charge like you did back in these days.
Correct.
But even like in the 80s and 90s, it was always referred to as calling collect. And then here they keep referring to it as a reverse charge.
Right. Well, it's actually called a reverse charge call. That is the term for it. So it only you only were able to do them when you were making an operated assisted call. So nowadays, because, as you said, you have cell phones and everything's computer based and stuff like that, there are ways of doing it, but it's a lot more complicated, and it costs more to do a collect call, because then you need to find a way to get to an operator in order to be able to make the person-to-person call this way. Now, here's a trivia.
Yeah, I remember in the 90s, the way you would do it is like if you were on a payphone, I believe you could dial zero to get the operator and you could do a collect call that way. And then there was also ATT had their 1-800 call ATT that you could use to make a collect call.
Exactly. I mean, I think it was Jim O'Kane when he was on the show at some point. Maybe it was even this season. I don't remember when it was, it where he basically was talking about the fact that you'd make a call and say who is the call coming from, and say pick me up at the roller skating rink or something like that. So that,
Yeah, you have to say it quickly. It's like, Dad, pick me up from the roller skating rink.
exactly.
And then you'd say, do you accept the charges? No. And then you just hang up and go pick them up.
That's right. So do you know what day of the year are there the highest number of phone calls in America?
I mean, I want to say, like, I would imagine it would be Christmas Day.
Nope, it's actually Mother's Day.
Ah.
Okay, and what day has the most collect calls?
Based on that, is it Father's
Yes,
Day?
it is. That is a very, very well-educated guess. Yes, it is. Do you remember a popular movie where someone tries to make a collect call and it doesn't work? Sorry, he tried. Sorry, a
Can't think
movie
of
where
it.
someone has to make a collect call because he doesn't have enough money to make the phone call.
It's not. I'm sure I have a strong idea that I will recognize it, but I cannot pull it out of my memory
Okay,
right
so the
now.
answer is Dr. Strangelove. In Dr. Strangelove, there is a character who wants to call the president but doesn't have enough money, so he needs to make a collect call. So, I mean, as this whole scene, plays out, you have George come into the office. He hears that Harry's on the phone. Eustace is talking to him. Eustace gives him the phone, or George starts talking to Harry. We don't hear Harry's side of it, obviously. And basically, he uses the term "son of a gun" 7 times. Do you have any idea what that means?
No, I don't know what that means.
Okay, so this actually goes back early 1800s, because the British imposed something called impressment. So any ship that traded with the French was considered an enemy. So they would steal the supplies and capture the crew, and therefore they impressed the crew into their own navy for life. And these guys then needed to become sailors, and were never allowed to step on dry land again. So if these men were married, so the British would be willing to bring the wife aboard the ship, and if the woman was pregnant, they would place her on the gun deck near the cannons, so that when she would start having the contractions, they would fire the cannons to make her push to have the baby. And then when the baby was born, it was called a son of a gun. This is obviously a This is not a positive connotation. The way that they would treat these people is not very good, but it was fascinating to actually read the idea that that's where the idea of son of a gun came from. I don't think having been in the delivery room enough times, I don't think if firing cannons would be able to help. I think it would just I think it would have made my wife even crazier. Which is maybe what they were trying to do. I don't know. That could be.
I think the idea is that the loud noise would surprise them,
Yes.
and that would force their body to contract in
Correct.
surprise.
But the question is whether they were doing that to try to help or not. Was that being done in a
It is
helpful
kind of
way
funny.
or
And I do think that that's interesting to know that it came that originated as more of a derogatory term, because I feel like, I mean, these days it's kind of passed out of usage, but in I feel like in the 60s and there it was generally used, at least I want to say it was generally used as a more of a positive
Well, I
term.
don't know. I always think of son of a gun as just a polite way of calling someone son of a bitch or something like that. That's what I would.
I always felt that there was a bit, at least a little bit more of a positive spin on it, though, because I feel like it's always like, son of a gun. Like it's in my memory, I always hear it as said as usually like in surprise, but as a positive surprise rather than a negative
Right.
surprise.
Okay. That's fair. And then George finds out that from Harry that their mother had had dinner with the president's wife. So do you know who the president's wife was at the time?
No, I do not. She's not one of the more well-known first
Okay. So
ladies.
it Bess Truman was born on February 13th, 1885, and passed away on October 18th, 1982. Was she is still the longest living first and second lady. There's not a single wife of a president or a vice president that lived longer than she did. She lived for 97 years and 247 days.
Wow.
She didn't really want him to run for vice president and was not happy when he won the presidency. And she spent most of the time out of the White House. She spent most of the time in their house in Missouri. They were living in Independence, Missouri during the time that during the time that they were there. And I always find it very interesting this conversation, the way this conversation is going. I mean, again, we have Tilly on one phone, we have George on another phone, we have Eustace asking him questions. It sounds like it's very confusing, the whole thing. And just looking at this scene reminded me of the game that we all used to play as kids, telephone. Okay. Do you know what the official name of the game telephone is?
No, I've always heard it as telephone, although surprisingly I've been watching been going through Red Dwarf, and there was an episode in series 10, I believe, where they talk about the game and they refer to it as like Chinese telephone, or
You're very close.
it was
That's
Chinese
right.
something.
It's called Chinese Whispers.
Yes, Chinese Whispers, and they were discussing about whether or not that name was racist, and they were talking about it between the different automated vending machines, and they asked the Chinese food vending machine whether or not it was racist, and then it eventually came back through another vending machine, but the answer was to a completely different question because it had, it had gone through the game of telephone and had changed.
So there are a number of I guess reasons that were suggested as to why the game is referred to as Chinese Whispers. Nobody's 100% sure. Okay, one of the things they say is that it could be that because the British were so fascinated with Chinese culture in the 18th and 19th centuries, so they decided to name the game after the Chinese. Another theory is that apparently there were confused messages created when when they would passed messages between the different towers on the Great Wall of China. So they said, okay, that maybe, it's the idea of Chinese whispers. For those who are unfamiliar with Chinese whispers or with the game telephone, the idea is you have a group of people that are usually sitting in a circle or in a row, and one person thinks of a some sort of phrase, and they tell the next person the phrase, and that person passes it on. And the idea is that by the last person who gets this phrase, they're gonna hear something completely different, because everyone has to say what they heard, and you can only say it once, and things like that. So
Yeah,
it's an
I was
interesting
actually
game.
surprised because they, that's kind of happens recently in the Barbie movie where Barbie is at the board, office of Mattel, their higher ups, and then she says, "Can I tell you by whisper?" And so she whispers to the person at the edge. But I believe in the movie that there is no miscommunication. He actually does gets the correct message through, even though everybody's whispering ear to ear on down the row.
Interesting. Okay. Now there are variants of the game that one of them is called Rumors. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I don't think
Where
so.
the purpose of that is you're supposed to change one or two of the words on purpose, and then see what the eventual outcome will be. And then you see that the game the first phrase was turned into something else, and then there's another one. Which is known as Mahjong Secrets or Broken Telephone, where the idea is to it's using free association, meaning when you hear a word, so what's the first word that comes to mind? And then it's the idea that okay, how does that travel through the course of the game?
Yeah, I've
Things
also
like that.
seen there's like a video trend that's, I mean, I don't know how popular, but it's a similar game, only instead of, speaking a message, you are drawing on a paper on somebody's back, and then you'll have a row of three or four people, and then they draw what they feel on their back, and so that it goes on down the line for how many people, and of course, the person at the end is drawing something almost completely different than what's started.
Oh wow, interesting. But I guess you need to have people there that actually, know how to draw. So I wouldn't be invited to that game. I definitely do not know how to draw. Not my forte. But that's pretty much the way that the minute ends. Do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
I did notice a couple signs in the background. We got a Red Cross sign. There,
On the job always.
on the job always, and then a war chest sign that, carry on for our fighting forces, our own at home, our suffering allies, give, and then it said war chest, and then above the war it says victory.
Later on you can see the actual thing here, right? No, because the war is now over, so that's why they put they plaster victory over the idea of a war chest. So that makes sense. And throughout this minute we see this conspicuous man just sitting on the bench waiting patiently, and at certain points you see his fingers tapping on the briefcase that he has there. But we'll get more into tomorrow as to who this man is. Who was that masked man? All right, so do you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, that's all I got.
Every Wednesday we have a segment called It's a Wonderful Wednesday, where the idea is that ever since this movie came out 77 years ago, the premise and the idea of the movie has been used and reused in many other venues over the years. The idea that a character, what would happen to them if they didn't exist, or something similar. I've used different types of variants throughout the course of the show so far. Some of them are, what ifs for the future, and some of them are what ifs for the past, and things like that. And each time I try and find something that might be somewhat related to my guest, if possible. And since I know that Bubweed is a music fan, I decided that I was going to choose a music video for this one. The video itself depicts what would happen if a character was no longer alive. he the character wants to commit suicide, and before he's able to take care of it, before he's able to do it, so he basically is stopped and is shown what the world would be like without him. Okay, so anyone who knows about my music taste knows that I am a very big Billy Joel fan. I know that Bubba Wheat knows this. This is a song that actually came out on Billy Joel's Greatest Hits, and it was one of two songs on his Greatest Hits that was never shown before. So I always find that really funny that he would put two songs on his Greatest Hits that that they weren't on any other albums beforehand. So I'm just going to quickly go through the lyrics of this song, and then we'll talk about the video itself. So the song is called Second Wind. Sorry, it's called You're Only Human, and then in parentheses, Second Wind. So it's you're having a hard time, and lately you don't feel so good. You're getting a bad reputation in your neighborhood. It's all right. It's all right. Sometimes that's what it takes. You're only human. You're allowed to make your share of mistakes. You better believe there will be times in your life when you'll be feeling like a stumbling fool. So take it from me, you'll learn more from your accidents than anything that you could ever learn at school. Don't forget your second wind. Sooner or later, you'll get your second wind. It's not always easy to be living in a world of pain. You got to be crashing into stone walls again and again. It's all right. It's all right. Though you feel your heart break, you're only human. You're going to just have to deal with heartbreak, with heartache. Just like a boxer in a title fight, you got to walk into that ring all alone. You're not the only one who's made mistakes, but they're the only thing that you can truly call your own. Don't forget your second wind. Wait in that corner until the breeze blows in. You've been keeping to yourself these days because you're thinking everything's gone wrong. Sometimes you just want to lay down and die. The emotion can be so strong, but hold on till that old second wind comes along. You probably want to hear advice from somebody else, but I wouldn't be telling you if I hadn't been there myself. It's all right. It's all right. Sometimes that's all it takes. We're only human. We're supposed to make mistakes. But I survived all those long, lonely days when it seemed that I did not have a friend because all I needed was a little faith so I could catch my breath and face the world again. Don't forget your second wind. Sooner or later, you'll feel that momentum kick in. Don't forget your second wind. Sooner or later, you'll feel that momentum kick in. So before you actually get into the video, are you familiar with this song at all, Bubba Wheat?
No, I don't think that this did not sound familiar at all. It's possible that I heard it whenever, whenever it was popular, but it's not one of those songs that really lasted the test of time. And if I had heard it, I haven't heard it since the late 80s, early 90s, or whenever this came out.
All right, I mean that's fair. Again, as a big Billy Joel fan, so I had all of his albums, including, his greatest hits. So, I listened to the song many times, and then, when during this time, that's when videos were starting to become popular. So I saw the. I remember I used to have a video of all of the Billy Joel music videos, so that I was able to watch them because you couldn't there's no other way of doing it basically. So basically the idea here is it's about the video shows that it's a teenager that is climbs up on a bridge getting ready to commit suicide, and he takes out his wallet and is looking at a picture of him and a girl. And then we see him thinking back about that he was in a car crash with the girl. We don't know really what happened with her, at this point. And as he's getting ready to jump, so Billy Joel shows up as like a guardian angel. He plays his harmonica. We hear the piano man sound, and what he then does is take this
Yeah,
character
he's a
on.
magical piano man.
That's right, and he takes this character into to show him what life would be like if something happened to him, and he takes him to what would graduation be like if he wasn't there.
I wasn't actually clear on that because I did, you sent me the video ahead of time because I asked for it, and so I did watch the video myself, and I thought that was him in most of the most of the scenes. So I wasn't clear, I wasn't sure if this was like a what if, like what if he never existed, or just showing him points in his life where he made a difference. Because I thought that that was like the same character in some of those scenes, like the graduation and the lifeguard.
Yeah. I mean, again, that is trying to show, you know, how life would be with, you know, first they show these two scenes where he did save someone, you know, he saved the life of the guy in the water. And he also, you know, was the valedictorian or whatever. And he had a lot of friends and stuff like that. But then, you know, he's being shown what, you know, his parents are sitting in their house and they get a knock on the door and they go and open the door and we think it's going to be him on the other side, but in the end, it's policemen telling them that he's dead. You know, that he decided that he wasn't going to think. And then we find out that this character's name is George Young, who was born in 1969, and according to the gravestone, committed suicide in 1985. So basically, he was only 16 years old at the time when he made this decision. And I mean, basically, we see then all of his friends standing there, you know, near his grave, crying, including the girl, you know, who was in the car with him, which apparently the whole idea is that nothing happened to her. He just broke up. She broke up with him. The potential for his future where, you know, he sees what it would have been like if he would have gotten married to her, you know, at their wedding where everyone would be very happy, the two of them together, stuff like that. Again, the whole idea is that this guardian angel is, you know, is trying to show him that you know, it's not the end of the world. What happened? You can get back together with your girlfriend. And at the end, he goes and you know, knocks on her door and makes up with her, and the two of them hug, and then, you know, the guardian angel throws him his harmonica, and he catches it. You know, that type of thing. Whatever. I mean, I like the way that this video is played out. You know, I think, first of all, I think it fits in very well with the whole idea of It's a Wonderful Life. There's no question about that. This idea is most definitely based on it. The way that this is.
Yeah, there's definitely the idea. Yeah, there's definitely the idea that he's being shown events in his life, you know, either where important things happened or important things will happen. Although I will say that I don't think that the direction does a very good job of showing you like where in the timeline, because it's like they show the car crash, and then they show the graduation, then they show him saving somebody at the beach, and then they show him dying and his gravestone, and then they show his wedding, which I imagine is like a potential future, but it's like, these don't necessarily make sense. Like, which of these, if any of them happen in the past, or if these are potential future, or like where in this timeline of him potentially jumping off the bridge and committing suicide. Like,
I think it's a combination of both. It's showing him, I think it's showing him two different things. It's showing, okay, what you've done, and, you know, what will happen if you continue on this path and you're no longer here. Or also what will happen if you stick around. You know, I think that's part of what it is.
Yeah, but in general, it's a fun video. It's a fun 80s video. And, you know, it doesn't have to be that deep, because the music videos of the 80s were not that deep. I think it's fun, and it does, especially with him, like, on the bridge, does have that mirror to It's a Wonderful Life and the and Billy Joel playing the kind of the Clarence role.
Correct. So here's a few little tidbits about the song and the video itself. So first of all, as I mentioned, it was on the Greatest Hits album that came out in 1985, even though it hadn't been on any other album beforehand. It peaked at number 9, so it became a top 10 hit that year. Billy Joel stated in an interview that year that he wrote the song because he himself, as a teenager, attempted suicide, and that, you know, decided that this song would be helpful to any teenagers who were dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts. The title was just simply Second Wind, but Liberty DeVito, you know, Billy Joel's drummer, mocked it. So he ended up changing it to be you're only human. And the any money that Billy Joel made on this song went to the National Committee for Youth Suicide Prevention. The video was filmed on the 59th Street Bridge. And do you know who Adam Savage is? He's the co-host of MythBusters. So he actually is one of the extras in the movie,
Oh,
in the video. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, that's nice.
All right, great. So, Bubba, you want to tell people once again where they can find Bubba Wheat?
Sure. I mean, like I said before, I have a lot of different projects going on. And so today, talking music, I think it's only appropriate to talk about my music podcast that I do, which releases every other Friday. It's called Lyrical Innuendo. Me and my co-host Nick Rehak, we discuss a song and we dig into the lyrics and we decide if the song, like we look into the subtext of the lyrics and we decide if the song is actually about sex, if it's actually about drugs, or if it's about anything else, like it's just rock and roll. And that's a lot of fun. And based on the description, we do tend to get explicit in that one. But we have a lot of fun talking about music of all decades and genres. We try to run the gamuts and talk about a lot of different music. And the most recent episodes of those come out on Spotify with the music included as a Spotify track. And if you don't listen on Spotify, it comes out a few weeks later. Without the music included on all other podcatchers.
All right, great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. Bubba, thank you very much for joining me today. And we will be back tomorrow. But until then, hot dog.
Hot
I
diggity
love
dog.
you truly, truly Life with its sorrow, life with its tears.